What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Well, it's great that we could open up our Bibles once again this Sunday evening and to dig into God's Word and to look at another portion. You'll notice that my lesson tonight connects with a recent lesson that we had on Sunday morning in talking about, is it right to be a Christian? And we talked about the world today and how specifically the United States and certainly is more of a pluralistic society, wanting to believe various things and ideas and opinions. And so certainly it's okay if you say you want to be a Christian, but that can't be the only way. And so we're going to believe something else, and you can't say that what we believe is wrong. And so you can see the bigotry or the ignorance in saying that if we stand here and say that any other religion is not going to get you to heaven, then that's false and that's bigotry and a lot of other words that might be used to try to tell us as Christians that what we believe is not the only way. And certainly we understood by studying the Scriptures about how that term Christian is used. We looked at how it is to be a Christian, and we also looked at the idea of being right. And so we defined what being right is. And we talked about standing upright, being righteous in God's eyes and pleasing Him and doing things according to His authority and to His purpose and being correct in our understanding of that. And so certainly that's part of being a Christian. And so tonight my question is, going right along with that same idea of is it right to be a Christian? And this one, is it right to preach the gospel? Is it right to preach the gospel? As you think back to really beginning in the 1950s and moving onward, when the idea of God and prayer began to be taken out of school, you can look at this through Apologetics Press and many other ways where evolution began to be really popular, the idea that we were descendant from apes, and the science evidence of that, Christianity and the Bible began to be slowly taken out of schools till today, where it's certainly strange if you hear it. And you know, you still have prayer groups, I know, and in more conservative areas, maybe you can talk about God, and teachers can still talk about God from their classroom to a certain degree. But overall, that is not the way the world works today in our society. They believe that evolution is real and that creation is false, and so it's been taken out of the public school system by the government so that they teach what they want to teach. And so one of the things that we need to understand as we think about is it right to preach the gospel is for our society, a lot of times, no. And you think about a simple passage such as John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I heard a really great sermon at Branson, where a guy actually dissected this verse, and he started taking out parts of it of people that would be offended. And by the end of the lesson, you basically only had love. And that was pretty much it, that we need to love one another. You need to take out God because people don't believe in God or the Bible. You need to take out Jesus because people don't believe He's the only way of salvation. You need to take out the punishment because certainly no one's ever going to be punished. And so by the end of this lesson, it was so great to say everybody's offended by John 3:16. And isn't that the case when people don't believe in the Bible and believe in the gospel? And that certainly is the case. And the reason being is preaching the gospel is exclusive. Have you ever thought about that? When, as Christians, as I stand up here and preach to you, I'm preaching a message of truth. I'm preaching that there's only one way to heaven, that there's only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that there's only one church, there's only one right way to worship Him. And for denominationalism, if you change that, you've changed the will of God, and you also are wrong. And so it's very exclusive if you stick with what the Bible says. And you're in the minority if you do that. And you're looked at as strange if you don't open up and broaden your mind to that very concept. And I think about what Paul said there in Galatians 4:16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" If what I'm telling you is not only true and genuine, but it is the actual fact, how can you be offended by that? And when it comes to spiritual things, we shouldn't be offended. And as Christians, we shouldn't be offended when we're presented with the truth. But also Paul would say it in Colossians 3 and verse 18 as well. And as he's talking about the purpose of himself preaching there, he talks about the idea of how enemies are going to come. And he actually mentions, he's really talking about Judaism and the Judaizers as well as in Galatians 4. But in Philippians chapter 3, and let's read there in verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk so as you have us for an example or pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And so they rejected the cross of Christ then, they rejected Jesus, and they're going to reject them the same. And so when you take Galatians 4:16 and Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, it's nothing new, brethren. We understand that if it's right to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's always going to be that enemy. And certainly we understand that the ultimate enemy is who? It's Satan. We know that he's that lion that devours us and seeks us. He wants to separate us from God, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He is a liar and deceiver, and ultimately he's the one that's causing all the confusion and denominationalism. He's the one causing all the confusion with all the false teaching out there. He's the one that's blinding the eyes of us in this society. It's ultimately Satan behind all that. And yet there are still people who believe those things and follow his example, and so they too also become an enemy of the cross. And so I want to look at 4 points tonight that will help us understand that. It is right, the first point, to preach the gospel because it is the power of God. You thought that was going to be a really in-deep one, huh? Didn't you? It was going to be some deep thing that no one's ever studied before in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 18, as Jesus is trying to explain how we need to deal with one another now that we're going to be a part of this kingdom and the church, when we have an issue with one another, there's a specific way in which we need to deal with things. And in this particular context, he lays down what we need to do and what needs to happen if that may be the case. If a brother sins against a brother, if there's a fault between a brother and a sister in Christ, this is how we need to handle the situation. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. And it's interesting that in verse 15, he really begins to tell us something here that we can really understand as we see that the gospel has the power to convict. Notice he says in verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell, or the idea is to expose or convict him of his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again I say to you that if two or you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For there where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I will be there in their midst. That's not talking about two or three people gathering for worship. This is within the context of withdrawing fellowship. And so if there's two or three in a congregation that agree that there needs to be withdrawal of fellowship, and they're the only two that withdraw that fellowship, God approves of them withdrawing from this wicked person until that gets done. In fact, in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, well, this is not the lesson, but we see an example of that where not the whole church was actually withdrawing from that fornicator in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It was only a majority, and so not everybody was following the right procedure, but it ended up working out if you read the first part of 2 Corinthians. But my whole point is here is when we go to present ourselves even to a brother in Christ, one of the things that we must do is we must convict them with the gospel by telling them they are at fault. We need to expose that error. That term actually means to shame them. And so when we are convicting someone with the gospel, we are shaming them. And not many people like to be put to shame, do they? They don't like to feel bad. That doesn't mean we need to feel bad for our entire life about our sin. If we're forgiven for our sin, we no longer need to feel shame. But if we're going to be convicted as like they were on the day of Pentecost, they have to feel shame of and feel guilty for what they've done. And if we can't get them to that point, they will never be converted because they don't believe that they've done anything wrong. And so is it right to preach the gospel? It is, because it convicts the heart and it pricks the soul. it causes them to really think about what they need to do. You know, one of the examples that we have of this is actually one that a shepherd needs to have. An elder of the church needs to be able to convict with the Word of God in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. And that's actually a qualification that if someone were to come in and start teaching nonsense or teach something that's contrary to the Word of God, they need to be able to convict or put to shame that teaching that might rise from the pulpit, or even if someone comes up to them and talks to them outside the pulpit, they need to be able to confront that teaching and be able to say that it is false and it is wrong. Another reason why it is the power of God is not only because it convicts, but because also it converts. If you notice there in the same chapter of Matthew chapter 18, you don't have to turn your Bibles if you're still there, but in Matthew chapter 18, as that question comes up from Jesus, who is the greatest? No doubt His disciples there wondering who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. He's going to give them an answer, and it's the answer that we need to think about when we think about preaching the gospel and understanding that it is only right because it's the power of God, because of what it does for you and I as it converts us. In verse 3 it says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as what? A little child or a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And here's that great example as you think about the power of God. The power of God makes you and I, the idea of being guilt-free. Maybe not necessarily innocent, because we're not innocent. When we commit a sin, we're guilty of that sin, and then we're free from that sin when we repent of it. But the idea there is to be pure as a child. And so here's one of those verses that, a side point again, that we talk about how a child, if we're to be like a child, if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, that means a child has to be pure and holy and without sin. And that's His example here that He gives us. As a child of God, as we think about, is it right to preach the gospel? It's right because it's the power of God, because it converts us to be pure. It changes our lives and makes us to be the person that God wants us to be. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, "As you have obeyed your word and obeying the truth." And so there it's talking about as you've purified your souls in obeying the truth, if I can get that right. And that's it. If you've purified your souls in obeying the truth of God's Word. And so it's that very thing that purifies us, and it makes us like that child that He's talking about here, and that's what converts us. And in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we have to be converted if we're going to be entering into the kingdom of God. And so is it right to preach the gospel? Of course it is, because it's the power of God. It convicts us of our sin. It makes us feel shame. And it also converts us to be pure, to be holy, and to live right according to God's standard. And it also has the power to transform. A very familiar verse as we've looked at in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed," metamorphosis. Change the way that you think and the way that you look at things. And so the gospel also transforms our mind. It changes the way that we look at things now that we think about things from God's perspective, about things being wrong according to His will and things being right according to His will. It's changed our whole perspective on life. Not only that, but we put Him first in our life, according to Matthew 6, verse 33, that we seek first the kingdom of God, and because of that, we're going to live this godly life. And so it's completely transformed us into this different person, or as we like to say, that new creature that comes out of that waters of baptism. When we come up that new person, that's that transformed person. That's what the gospel does. And so is it right to preach the gospel? Well, if it convicts us of our sin, if it converts us from our sin, if it transforms us into a new person, then certainly, as we look at the Bible and the biblical perspective, it is certainly right to preach the gospel as a Christian. And second, it's right to preach the gospel because it's how God chose to save us. And we've covered Romans, I know, for several weeks now, where that is the whole point of the book of Romans for the first 8 chapters, is to prove Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I have no shame from this. For it's the power, it's God's power to what? To salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's for everybody. The gospel is for all, as we sing sometimes, isn't it? And so it's right to preach the gospel because it's what saves us today, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We've heard that how many times in our lives? Probably a lot. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We must study the Word of God, we must hear it, and then we must do it. We must respond or we must disobey, but we have to do something. Is it right to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, because it's the only thing that saves. The Message saves according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, and there's the discussion of Paul talking about how it was the foolishness of the message preached to save those who have actually believed there, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 18 down to verse 21. And there he rightly says that it's the message, the gospel is what saves. And so for the person who saves, we know it's the wisdom and knowledge of God, but for someone of the world who rejects it, it's foolishness. It sounds stupid. And we've heard that verse a lot as well as I've been in this pulpit. And it's a wonderful, powerful verse that teaches us that very thing, that for someone who's going to be an atheist, an agnostic, or any of these people who want to destroy Bible teaching and change our society to be pluralistic and to believe all these other things, they're changing the will of God and they're saying that the gospel does not save. Another verse that we've looked at quite recently too, and it's probably why it's on my mind in this lesson, is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, that we are continuing the faith, that we may save ourselves and those who hear us. And really, Paul there is talking about a preacher. He's talking about someone like myself who, when I'm preaching, I need to keep that in mind. I need to keep in mind that I want to be saved and go to heaven. I want to bring everybody who's in the audience to heaven and anybody who might come in as a visitor who might obey the truth. And so I'm going to preach the truth and do it and continue in it because I want people to be saved by the gospel. It's the gospel. Is it right to preach the gospel? Of course it is, according to Paul, as he reminds Timothy there. And then another familiar one in James chapter 1, verse 21. And there we are to receive with meekness the implanted word. But we have to be able to understand how powerful the word is. And we know that, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that I planted Apollos water, but God gives the increase. We need to plant the seed, as we know, and spread the gospel. And if we allow the gospel to sink deep into our hearts, it's going to grow up to be that which we want it to be, that mature person. And so, yes, it is right to preach the gospel, because it does indeed save us. Third, it is right to preach the gospel, because it has called us out of this dark world. What a familiar thing, isn't it? In 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he begins really in verse 2 to talk about our maturity as a Christian and how we need to be growing as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We need to desire to study God's Word and to do it and to teach it. And so it's only right that we would want to also preach it. And then from verses 4 down to verses 8, he begins to show how some obeyed and some didn't because Jesus was a stumbling block to those who disobeyed, but he was the very person everyone was looking for those who accepted Him. And then in verses 9, he begins to describe characteristics of the person now that's been called out of the world, called out of that dark world, and into the kingdom of light. But you are a chosen generation. You are now the chosen ones of God, the elect, the one that God has chosen from the foundation of the world, the righteous ones that have obeyed Him. A royal priesthood. We're like the priesthood of old, but we are royal in that we've been baptized into the royal blood of Jesus. And so now we are the idea of royalty, a holy nation, and we've already talked about that one as far as being holy and being like a child, His own special people, and we're the ones that have fellowship with God. And then he goes on to say that you may proclaim, now that we have all these great things, now that we are these people that God wants us to be, we can do this. We can proclaim the praises of Him, Jesus, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, into the kingdom of light, into the church. And notice verse 10, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so we have access into that mercy that God shows us, that compassion, that compity. Remember again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He has that compassion for us. And so yes, it's right to preach the gospel because we've been called out of the world. And also we could go to another passage that's very familiar in 1 Thessalonians 2. And really, I never really quote or read verse 13. I always quote, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I always quote verse 14, of course, on this. But I never read the verse before, but it goes with it, really. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation, for sanctification by the Spirit, and belief in the truth, and that's the process there of our conversion, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're called by the gospel out of the world into obedience, and really, remember, as we studied months ago, the word church is literally the call out. That's what we are. We're the church, not this building. And so we're the called out of the world and were for the purpose of glorifying Christ, according to Ephesians 3, verse 21. But here, as far as this purpose is concerned, we're answering that question, is it right to preach the gospel? And yes, it is, because it's not only the power of God that convicts, converts, and transforms, but it saves us. And then ultimately, this point here, we have that it calls us out of that world of darkness, out of sin. And then finally here, we have another verse here. Is it right to preach the gospel? Yes, it is, because the gospel, there are those who... I think I wrote it down wrong in my outline here. It is right to preach the gospel because there are those who pervert it or twist it. In Galatians chapter 1, this is the verse I go to when a Mormon knocks on my door and they never like. And I'm trying to teach them the Bible. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I marvel that you are turning so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some here who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ, or twist, or turn it, or curse it. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have preached to him, let him be accursed. And then, of course, verse 10, for do I not persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And so for those who are wanting to pervert the gospel or twist it to their own demise and understanding, as we would think about people like our government taking it out of our school system, and then we think about denominationalism twisting it to their own demise, these are people who don't really care about the purity of the gospel. And so is it right to preach the gospel? Well, of course it is. If we don't want it to be perverted, we have to. It should be out of necessity so that we can make sure the truth is passed on to the next generation, and that is our responsibility as God's people to make sure that's happening. And certainly there, Paul answers that by reminding those in Galatia they were going through the same thing, only with Judaizing teachers. They were doing the same exact thing then, only in a different sense, in that they had different false teachers that were running around doing just that. And then 2 Peter chapter 2, the epistle that really talks a lot about false teachers, beginning in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, it will be spoken evil against. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. And then he goes on to talk a lot about different things there with the outcome of false teachers. And what is their outcome? They're going to be punished by God. They're going to be everlasting punishment from them, from verses 4 down. And then he's going to give an example there in verse 12 of them being like brute beasts, just serving themselves. And how many false teachers can you think of that that's exactly who they are, of how the Bible describes them to be? And so tonight we've looked at a couple different things. We've looked at how there's always going to be enemies of the cross of Christ. We need to face that fact. And so when we ask that question, is it right to preach the gospel? If we connect it back to my other lesson we had, is it right to be a Christian? They go hand in hand. And in our society, it's not always the popular thing, because the gospel is exclusive. It's telling everybody else that they're wrong and this is the only way to heaven. And that's the only way. And since it's so exclusive, it's the exclusive club, they might say, then that can't be the only way. You need to open up your mind and broaden it. But certainly that's not the case. In Philippians 3:18, Paul also said that. And then we are 4 points for tonight was it's the power of God. It saves us. It calls us out of the world of darkness. And it keeps people... Well, it doesn't keep them from perverting the gospel, but it's because the gospel is perverted that we need to preach it, and that is the right thing to do, to stand for the truth. As we know in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, that we need to be ready always to give that defense, that apology for our faith there. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear, with humility and respect, for what God has done for us. And so with that, I want to close, and we can understand that those 4 points would help us then to understand what it's like to live in our society, and that we have to continue to live the gospel as much as preach it, certainly. And maybe even someone will look at our example and see that we are living the gospel, and perhaps will be interested in studying, or whatever the case may be, to become a child of God as well. The blood of Jesus Christ is what saves us, and the access to that is through baptism. But before we are baptized, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is our authority or right to become a child of God, by believing that He is the Son of God. And we must be willing to repent of our sins and confess that great name before men. What's interesting is I was thinking about some of the studies we've had recently, and with some of the Baptist groups, and teaching almost the contrary to what the Bible teaches. They almost teach that you have to repent first. That you repent first, and then you confess your faith in Jesus. And so you repent, and then you have faith. And that's completely out of order. And they say, you know, you have to feel sorry then for what you've done to God, and there's that repentance. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we have to, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, we must believe first, and then we repent, then we confess, and then we're able to be baptized in that water, being fully covered for the remission of our sins. That's how we experience the gospel. That's what it is to be a child of God and to come out of that grave, a new creature, to be transformed as we just talked about there. As a child of God, we need to make sure we're walking in the light as always and have that powerful blood of Jesus on our minds, to have that sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith that keeps us strong every day, to make sure that we overcome the battles, that temptation that Satan throws at us. If there's any need this evening, please come to the front while we stand and praise God together.
Hand in hand along the way. walking thus, I will not stray. Hand in hand with Jesus, from the straight and narrow way, praise the Lord, I must not stray, for I'm walking every day, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. When the stars are backward rolled, and His home I shall behold, I will walk those streets of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way, walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the many blessings You've given us. We ask that You please be with those who are sick. Please be with those who are in need. Please be with those who were mentioned earlier. Please help us get back to our homes safely and meet back here at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.